Hey, babies. Welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast hosted by me, Dr. Anna Guanche. I'm so excited you're here. We plan to educate, inspire, and entertain you. This podcast is not just about beauty. It's about lifestyle, inspiration, life hacks, and of course, beauty. Hey, babies, I am so excited to announce Susan Holmes McKagan. She is a supermodel, gracing the cover of Vogue, Maxim magazine, Sports Illustrated, so many magazines. But not only that, she's a designer. She has a swimsuit line. And she also is married to a rock star, Duff McKagan, who is part of Guns N' Roses, right?
Founding member and bassist of Guns N' Roses and another big band, Velvet Revolver. Mm-hmm. Can't forget them.
Velvet Revolver.
Amazing also. What can I say? I'm very blessed and lucky. I have a pretty cool life.
Yes, very cool life.
Very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, I don't ever believe that's an accident that you have a blessed life. It has a lot to do with who you are as a person, what you attract to yourself and what you manifest. And it looks like you have, you know, a phenomenal. Most importantly, I didn't mention yet, she's got May and Grace, her two daughters. One is a model and the other one is a singer. So it's Velvet Pink? Pink Velvet? What is her name?
Band? Okay, well, now, big splashy news. Grace is now a solo artist, Grace McKagan. And she just got back from tour in the UK at the Reading and the Leeds Festival. And it went fantastic. She had a wonderful time. And she just loves performing live. She loves writing her music. And then she's just very charismatic and not shy on the stage at all.
And May is doing modeling
May is killing it. She's, both girls model, but I guess May has been doing a little bit more recently. She lives in New York City. She's going to school full time at Parsons in the New School, getting a double major. Getting all A's. Very proud of her. She's also modeling. She's just modeled for cosmetic campaigns such as Pat McGrath.
Skims too?
And Skims multiple times. Calvin Klein campaign.
Unbelievable. The beauty is genetic. So you're modeling as well, currently.
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes. I keep seeing you on the cover of various magazines, and I'm so excited. You look stunning.
Thank you. Great photography, hair, makeup, and most importantly, a brilliant dermatologist. Right. So thank you for making me look and feel so good always. You keep me just looking fresh. And without you, I wouldn't have this skin and confidence that I do. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. And of course, you're a natural stunning beauty. And all I do is just increase confidence by giving people like smoother skin and getting rid of little imperfections that are bothering them. And that's what I always say. It's not about each individual procedure, but what it makes people feel like and what it unleashes in them. But this is called the Dr. Beauty Podcast, but we talk about all kinds of beauty. But in this case, we're talking about model beauty. This is like the ideal, right? That for everybody's ideal.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, what is your definition of beauty?
Let's see. My definition of beauty would be just being the very best version of yourself. And that's a different definition for everybody. And I know that might seem kind of like a broad brush stroke, but it's true. You know, you have to first and foremost feel confident and beautiful within yourself, and everything just kind of radiates from there. So of course, is it easy? Not necessarily. It's a lot of work. You know, we have to take very good care of ourselves, and it doesn't just start by jumping in and taking care of yourself when you see imperfections.
But
you
preventing.
Have to be preventative.
And we have such a great sort of culture developing among young women and men that they need to take care of themselves from early on, and they need to do preventative maintenance and sunscreen even and all these things. And so it's great that people are interested and care about self-care a lot more than they did maybe in our generation. And so
absolutely,
it's important to get a jump on things. But my question to you know, and I love that you said that, because I always say beauty is being the best possible version of yourself, both inside and out. And I think that sometimes when you make someone feel better, or when you even just get your hair blow dried or whatever, you almost unleash a persona, right? You unleash a confidence
so
that
true.
Maybe wasn't there, right?
Yes.
And so that's what we're talking about. What allows you to be your most beautiful self, your most confident self, you know? And you have a daughter that models. Do you feel like, I want to ask you two questions. Like, do you think that you imagined you'd be modeling at this point, still being on the covers of magazines? Or do you think the modeling world has changed, like where, you know, they're a little bit different about what has to be, what you have to be, what your requirements are to be on the cover?
100%. I guess I had hoped I would still be, you know, gracing modeling covers and walking runways. But, you know, it used to be 10, you know, 20 years ago, you know, when you're over 40, you know, even in the acting world, it's like, oh, you're old and
it's over.
That's it. But no more.
No more.
It's wonderful that a lot of, you know, I just came back from New York Fashion Week, and everything that's hot and trendy and, you know, the cool thing right now is to be inclusive. And inclusive is, you know, all, you know, ethnicities, all sizes, and also all ages.
Right.
So it's not just the spring chicken, and it's not just the, you know, the token, you know, oh, here's the one older gal with the gray hair who's a kooky character or something,
like,
you know? So it is getting more and more, you know, real, because real women want to buy real products that they feel really good in.
Right.
So, it just makes a lot more sense for branding and marketing and sales, because the older women buy the stuff too.
It's actually true.
We have, you know, saved our money, hopefully. And we
money.
Like to shop. So it's smart.
It's interesting that you say that. You know, I have a couple of, you know, products that I brought to market. And, you know, when we work with influencers and things like that, we might choose an influencer who's very famous, has millions of followers. And
sure,
we'll market something like M-Sculpt or some a procedure that we do, for example. And we'll get, you know, some interest, but none of their followers at that 20-year-old age group can afford some of these procedures, right? So
isn't then it interesting?
It's interesting, right? And the marketing, when we have an influencer who is in, let's say, her or his, mostly her, 40s or 50s, then their followers are calling up and scheduling. And that's because they actually have the money.
Yes.
They actually are, they have arrived in life. Mm. And I think that, you know, it's been a mistake, I think, to marginalize anyone at any age, actually.
Absolutely.
I don't believe in ageism. I think it's something that we're getting so good at, though. It's only going to get better.
I'll never forget walking in the grocery store and seeing that People magazine cover with Christie Brinkley on the cover in a bikini, and said, "This is 60. And she looked like phenomenal. And I was like, oh my God, she's just so inspiring. And I hope to look, you know,
it is
true, and inspire that, you know, as a woman over 40. And
you do inspire, you know, that, and you're stunning, gorgeous anyway, but it's just a matter of what would the organization have accepted on the cover versus not.
Yes.
And there's no reason why they shouldn't have, but it was just, that's what was accepted. And so now our young guys and gals that are growing up are going to see different people on the cover of different magazines and different people highlighted, and they will not expect that the only definition of beauty is someone in their 20s. And, you know, so we're
completely
changing.
Completely agree. Yes.
Right? More
than. I'm doing more covers than ever, actually, than I did in my 20s. And I think it also makes for a more fascinating story, because people, you know, when you are on the cover of a magazine, it's not just, oh, she looks good, but they need
more information.
Story.
Yes.
A good interview.
Right.
You know, they want to learn cool tips or.
And they want to know that you're the author of The Velvet Rose.
Right.
And that you're a
yes.
designer. You design bathing suits, and that you're a mom too. And that you've accomplished so many things, and yet you're stunning and gorgeous and you're on the cover. So you have that. You have layers of accomplishments and things that are interesting about you. And I personally know that you're an amazing, kind person. So
thank you.
It's just interesting to have a different perspective on what we're looking for. We're looking for personality. We're looking for accomplishments and, you know, abilities. I heard you just took a course at Harvard.
I did. Yes. Thanks for
tell us about
bringing
that.
This up. Yeah. Okay. So we were in COVID and I always sort of had in the back of my mind, I wanted to go back to school. My parents are both educators. My father's a PhD, thrice Fulbright scholar. My mother's, you know, master's degree and my whole family. I'm the only one that didn't finish the college education. So I feel like I'm not cool. I need to go back to school someday.
Except that you're a supermodel. But other than that, yeah.
Well, I just always wanted to further
that
my education.
That little subtle detail. But
plus, yeah. I think it was a good move to show my daughters who are in school. Grace is currently at Stanford online and May is, you know, in New York studying full time. I thought it would just sort of demonstrate, you know, how important
education
is. It really still is. Yeah. So I took a class at Harvard online and I filled out all the paperwork and you have to write in there, you know, what you've accomplished and et cetera. And I said I'd written recently a best-selling novel, The Velvet Rose, and front page columnist for the Huffington Post. But I had not graduated college. And somehow I got into the graduate program at Harvard studying a feature writing course. And I didn't realize that until midway through the class, because I'm like, gosh, this is really hard. Literally, I had no life. All I did was like study, read, write, eat, sleep, repeat kind of thing. Like my husband's like, I just want my wife back. Yeah. And this is in COVID when we're in the same quarters every single day and every single night. So that should say a lot.
Yeah, right.
But I learned a tremendous amount. I learned a lot, obviously, technically about further enhancing my writing skills and being taken, you know, even that much more seriously as a writer. And also my professor was just completely inspiring because it was online. She was teaching in London and all the students were from various time zones from Saudi Arabia to France to, you know, all over the place. And then, you know, we'd have to get in study groups and I'm like, oh, what
did you do by time zone?
Yes,
you're like by time zone.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, one of the girls I was in the study group with was, you know, a high school English teacher and, you know, and she's taking the class. So I'm like, gosh, I don't know why I'm in this level. And the professor is like, you know, this is a graduate level course. And I was like, should I tell her how far I've tackled my education or not? So I kept it mum because I was like, maybe I snuck in here and I wasn't supposed to be in here. But it just was a really wonderful thing to do. And
made you kind of gives you that
pathos, they call it. I learned that in my class. Pathos is the credibility factor with your business.
Yes.
Right. So it added pathos.
That maybe not falling into stereotypes that if you're a model that, you know, there are all these ideas people have that about intelligence, about education, about all that stuff. So,
well, you know, being a doctor, you probably get it all the time because you're just drop dead gorgeous, but then you're literally a doctor. Every time I talk about you to girlfriends or people to refer you, I'm like, okay, just be prepared. She is like stunning.
Thank you.
Tall. She's beautiful, but she's literally a doctor. I don't even understand. She's just a freak of nature. I don't even get it.
Thank you. So I was talking to our previous guest. His name is Raul Wright. And we were talking about how he came in and I expected him to be totally silly because he's a TikTok star.
Yeah.
He was very serious and very deep. He was talking about very deep concepts and intellectual, philosophical concepts. And I thought, you know, this wasn't what I was expecting, but I'm excited about it. It's fine because I am against, besides ageism, I'm against pigeonholing people.
Yes.
Like you are like this, you're a doctor. So you're like this, you're a model. So you're like this.
Absolutely.
And the truth is we all have so much dimension and so much, you know, more depth to us than what someone will just assume just by looking at you from the outside or hearing one thing about you. And that's why I love having you on here because you're an author, you're a businesswoman, you're a wife, you're in the public eye, but you've raised these two kids, your marriage is still intact. I mean, all those things to me are things I idolize. And not the least of it, the marriage thing, but all those things together are imagine, like, that's a lot. And plus you look phenomenal. So it's like I got goosebumps. Aww. You just inspire me. And my goal on this podcast is to inspire people. And I love getting inspired too. So.
Yes. Likewise. Well, you know, it's just, I don't know, just celebrate life, you know, every day's a gift and I'm blessed that, you know, I have two healthy kids. I just celebrated the 22 years in marriage with a wonderful person who happens to be my husband. And, you know, it's great. I'm lucky and blessed, as I mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, because he's very supportive of me and he believes in me. Mm-hmm, you know, he still thinks I'm cool somehow. I don't even know.
And you are so cool, though. Do your kids think you're cool?
Sometimes.
Yeah, same.
A lot of times not.
Most of the time, I'm like, what are you doing on TikTok?
Yeah.
Stop, Mom. But it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't listen to them.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they do think I'm pretty cool.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they're extremely proud of you and think you're just so incredible.
Thank you. I don't know. Depends on the day, right? Depends on the
day. It does. It does.
So yeah. I was listening to your book on tape. And
because
I listen while I drive. Yeah, it's on Audible. So you guys, it's at Barnes & Noble. It's on Audible.
It's everywhere books are sold.
Everywhere books are sold. It's a bestseller.
Yes. It sold out one day on both Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I'm really proud of this for two reasons. One is it took me 9 years to write the book.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, it's a huge accomplishment for me. I never thought I could like write a novel. It's a whole different animal than writing a like an autobiography,
like a short story,
or a short story.
So, isn't the protagonist kind of someone
it's a
we
lead
know?
Female protagonist named Scarlett.
And who is she?
I mean, they say write what you know about. So I did, but the book.
So you're writing about the story of how you met Duff and how
there's a lot of Ramona Clay in it. Trying to figure out who's who or what's going on. I blended some characters too and changed names, of course. Yeah. I was just watching the Jackie
Did
Collins
anyone come
documentary
back
last night. Have you seen that? It's so good. It's on the CNN documentary channel.
Oh, I need to see it. She sounds like
her.
A fascinating woman
my God,
to hear about.
Joan Collins being her sister, the famous actress from Dynasty and all that.
Yeah.
And she sold $180 million worth of books back in the 80s. You know, that was unheard of. So she re-inspired me again. I'm like, I need to write my next book. I'm going to really nail this next one. Also, because a portion of my proceeds go to a good cause for Music Cares Foundation. Mm-hmm.
Is that not the Grammys Foundation for Music Cares and Grammys?
They're part of the Recording Academy.
Yeah.
But they are a wonderful, wonderful cause. And I travel a lot because Duff's on tour and sometimes I'm with them. So I don't always have time to like go sit on a board, help out in that way. So this is kind of my cool way of giving back,
yeah,
which is
amazing.
So important. So the more books that sell, the more I get to contribute for a good cause. So it's a win-win.
It's a win-win. And I think Music Cares is dedicated to bringing music to schools, bringing music back and making it available to kids that are interested in learning music that now have a hard time having access to instruments and teachers and things like that is what I understood it to be a few years ago.
Yeah, they also focus heavily on helping those unfortunately battling addiction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I personally know people they've helped. A lot of people. They're really hands-on. It's not just like very, you know, blasé, like, yeah, we're a big corporation thing. Mm-hmm. They truly help a lot of people get off the streets or needing a place to stay or can't afford rehabilitation. But it also helps those, you know, battling Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease too, or HIV, people that are just needing extra hand counseling, monetary provisions.
So we can add philanthropists to your list of accomplishments.
I would like to focus more on that actually. So yeah, it's fun to do all this stuff, but at the end of the day, you got to give back. That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Always. 100%. That's how we build our society. That's how we make things better for ourselves and everyone else. And I believe in that too, giving back and donating.
Yeah, you do a lot for the community. You're doing those walks at like 5 a.m.
She's talking about the Melanoma Research Foundation. We do the Miles for Melanoma 5K. Oh God, yes. And then sometimes they get me to do speeches, which is really, really fun.
Amazing.
No, I actually like it. I like giving back in that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely
want to do the next one with you.
So yeah. With those long legs, you're going to beat me. I'm not very fast.
Okay, good.
I just walk it.
I think it's just about doing it, right?
It's just about the spirit of doing it. That's true. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So, and we talked about the definition of beauty, which we literally have the same definition of beauty.
We do.
Which is awesome.
Mirrors.
We're like twinsies. We're like a black and white cookie.
Exactly. Little yin to my yang.
But I wanted to ask you, who inspires you? Was there someone that is your mentor or someone you look to or used to look to that sparked your career, sparked your interest in becoming who you are today?
Sure. Well, there's quite a few, but I guess a few that come to the top of the list, I mean, would be just within my own household. My grandma, my grandmother Nell is so honestly sweet and beautiful. She was an esthetician also. Mm-hmm. So she was gorgeous. She was Lithuanian and she had no wrinkles and she was 90. And she was the one that always instilled in me, like, always take care of your skin, you know. And my aunt, who's this gorgeous flight attendant, and she looked like Elizabeth Taylor and like very glamorous. And she used to bring me home these like British Vogues when I was a kid back from London where she'd fly. And I actually used her as one of, not used her, she inspired me as one of the characters in my book, in the Velvet Rose, learning about beauty and glamour and fashion and how it's a wonderful expression of yourself and creative outlet. And then
is there a thing that happened at some point that like made you realize I have arrived? Like, okay, I have arrived.
I wish I could say that.
No,
you must be able to say that though.
Actually, that's a tough question. I'm wondering what would I answer to this question?
What more could you possibly tackle?
Do you know I have a list? And yet, yet if everything ended today, I'm like, I'm happy with everything that happened. I'm good. Right, I'm good. Right. I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And everything is just perfect. But I always think, what more could I do? Could I do more? And I always want to.
There's always something though, isn't there?
Fulfill my potential.
There's never the full, like, that's it. Call today, right out to the sunset.
I mean, this podcast is an example. I'm excited about this podcast.
Love this.
Yeah,
it's fabulous.
I'm excited to talk to interesting
people.
This rose wall is new.
This
whole suite
is
new. And then, you know, there's other projects I'm working on all the time. But yeah, so it would be hard for me to say, like, at what point do I think I have arrived? So but I do ask
my
guest that.
What's the next thing? Well, just killing
it on the
podcast. The next
thing, besides the podcast, I'm always dreaming of my skincare line.
Oh, yes. You have to do skincare.
Yeah.
Something.
And then I want to start a training course for other doctors to come in and teach them my injectable.
You should do a master class. Have you taken a master class?
You know,
yet?
I was asked, I got an email that do I want to do a master class?
Oh my God.
Should I?
Anna Wintour did it.
Ah, well, if Anna Wintour did it,
the editor in chief of Vogue magazine did one.
Yeah.
You should do the beauty one.
Yeah.
And
then
Kelly Wurstler does the interior design. They get like the A game on there.
Really?
So,
Yeah. Well, I would love to. I feel like my Instagram is like a training course. Like people I have a lot of injector followers.
Sure.
And they watch my videos about, like, you know, they see techniques and things like that. But no, it would be a more formal way to like specifically teach people, I guess.
Yeah.
So
I think that'd be really cool.
About.
I'd love to see you on there and watch that.
Thank you. So I want to ask you, now you're sort of guiding your daughter through the modeling world, or I don't know if she's doing it on her own or you're guiding her.
I try and guide her, you know, occasionally she'll ask me questions, but a lot of it, she'll just be very independent.
Like independent. That's their job. At
you
this
know,
age. What do you
as
think?
I was and probably you were too. At
yes.
Age,
oh
right?
yeah.
What?
Very
Mom,
independent.
No, okay.
Mom doesn't know anything, but I figured in your case you would. They wouldn't feel
certain
that
things, but May just walked her first New York Fashion Week show and I thought, oh, she's going to call me.
Yeah.
Ask to check her runway walk. No.
Yeah. Nothing.
I was Miss J. Alexander's first student, you know, on America's Next Top Model.
Ah,
you're
kidding.
He used to come over to my apartment in Paris and teach me how to walk.
Oh, my gosh.
Better than the girls.
You have to teach me how to walk.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I've done a lot of runway. I've worked for every designer, right?
Yeah.
Like, many, many of them over the years. I'm very blessed. And I, no, she's like, no, she's, mom, no, I already went for the, you know, go see, and they liked how I walk. So obviously I know how to walk. Okay. It's like, okay, honey.
I know.
And
I
then
know.
She did walk beautifully. She nailed it. So
she did. Okay. Perfect. Know. It was in the genes. She somehow by osmosis, they learn a lot from their parents, right?
Yeah.
The,
yeah.
Over the years, I think.
Right.
So
yeah,
no, good.
I was really proud of her. And then it was so sweet afterwards. She kind of shed a tear because she's like, I just never thought I'd walk Fashion Week. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and all my friends and are like, she's going to be like the next biggest thing. Like, she's so stunning and smart and pretty and nice. And
true. All true.
Know? I was like, oh,
yes.
Yeah.
So. Amazing. The biggest gift of everything, right?
Is the kids. Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's true.
So it I'm going to have you spin
what
the
is
wheel?
This cool game yeah. thing? What do I do? Just spin it?
You just spin it. It's time to spin the Cause Wheel of Guanche. Woo-hoo! Here we go.
Okay.
Yay! Yay! Where did it turn?
I wanted that one.
Oh my goodness.
I love a good fashion game.
It's a fashion game and is perfect for you, Miss Susan. So I want to ask you a question about an outfit or a type of outfit, and you tell me what you think of it. Okay?
Got it.
What do you think of Crocs?
Crocs, like the shoes?
Yeah.
Well, I probably wouldn't leave my house wearing them because I don't think I could pull it off.
It just doesn't fit your vibe here.
It's just, I don't know.
Vibe.
It's not working with my flow. But I have owned a pair in the past and they are hella comfortable. I'm not going to lie.
For home wear.
For home wear.
So
there's
are
a
you
time
are
and
you,
a place for them, hun.
Are you like me? You're like all glam when you're out in public, but at home you're like totally dressed down.
I mean, no. I feel like you're more glam than me.
Oh, no, I'm glad.
Because I'll come in here for an appointment and I'm like kind of no makeup wear and like jeans and a ballet flat or something, right? Or I don't know. And you always look so pretty.
Well, thank you. I dress up for work. I wear my makeup, but at home, I'm like,
okay.
It's time for the sweatpants and flats or
I need to
flip-flops.
Get my up my game a little better. I'm more like you. but yeah, I mean, I like to get glammed up.
But it's not like a daily thing that you do.
I mix it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think because I spent so many years modeling, and when you're a model, you never wear makeup because you're wearing so much makeup.
When you are modeling.
When you're modeling. You're just like, the last thing I ever want to see is a makeup brush or you know what I mean? You just like OD
on it.
It
feels like work.
Yes, exactly.
So instead of feeling like, you know, luxury, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. What about wear to tear it mom jeans?
I actually like them if they're the right cut. There's certain brands. Mm-hmm. I like this one brand called Coy. I think it's COY.
Uh-huh.
They do a nice one. It's a really pretty sort of pale blue denim.
Mm-hmm.
And they're high rise, but not overkill high rise. And
yeah, I remember thinking that mom jeans were for OPs, I called them.
Which it took a minute to like them.
Me, but I said that when I was in high school, I was like, no, I would never wear those. And it wasn't in style. And then all of a sudden it came back in style.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing all these younger girls wearing them.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, those are mom jeans. But I have
some of them are not so good. You really have to kind of weed
like
through.
Like the style depends on the style.
Try them on. I do own a pair. They're not my go-to pair I wear though. My go-to pair I wear right now is sort of a black mid or high rise ripped jean.
Okay. I like ripped jeans too. I'm still wearing ripped jeans.
Yeah.
And what about boyfriend jeans? Those loose baggy ones.
I have a bunch and I never wear them.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I look fatter. I don't know. It's just my head space. They probably.
By the way, she doesn't have, if you're just listening to this on Spotify, you really should watch it on YouTube because she is stunning, gorgeous.
Aw, thank you.
Statuesque woman and so could never look fat. But yes, skin, I do agree with you as far as boyfriend jeans
I'm 5'11 and I'm saying that,
and
you know.
They don't show your shape.
Tall woman. I don't know. It just, also a lot of them aren't stretch and I prefer a jean as a slight stretch to it because it's just more comfortable. It just is. There's too many options out there that look better and have the comfort thing.
Well, and what do you
stylish? You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you think about crop tops? Like this whole trend of wearing like leggings and crop tops.
Well, I think it looks fabulous on some. I'm just so over it. I feel like it's been around since 2017. Can we just move on from that aesthetic already? Because I think it's played out and it's not a good look on me. So I'm probably, you know, just not feeling it too.
It has been around a really long time.
It has been around a really long time.
I think maybe the pandemic kind of delayed our new fashion emergence or something like that, because the trend didn't change. And usually that's a trend that would be like one season or maybe two.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I need to Google that. Like for my book, The Velvet Rose, I had to research so much about being authentic with the fashion designs, you know, like she was walking down the Chanel runway and she's wearing a canary yellow boucle tweed, you know, suit. So it just reminded me how fashion did change, I feel like, more rapidly back then than it does now. Kind of like cars.
Yes.
When you buy a car now and you have it, it used to change every year back in the day. For all you youngins out there listening to this podcast.
Yes.
You know, now you can buy a BMW or something and it keeps the same.
The same shape.
Same shape, same aesthetic for like 5-10 years or something.
I know. I've been a Tesla fan for a long time.
I just got a Tesla. I love it. Do you love yours?
What color?
I got a white one. I call it my moon mobile because it looks,
the plaid?
Where the falcon doors come up.
Oh.
That one.
Where's that one?
Oh, you didn't get that?
I know.
Okay. We have to film.
Oh,
I have to do it on TikTok.
Yours is an SUV. Friend.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, no, honey.
No. SUVs are amazing. No, I'm just kidding. I do like SUVs.
You're a sedan girl.
It's that fast car. The plaid is the one I got. Red.
Oh.
And it's red again.
Okay. It's your lucky color. Although, do you get more tickets? Do you notice?
I don't speed that much.
Okay.
Well, I speed sometimes.
But cautiously, of course.
Yes. Wisely.
Wisely.
But you didn't hear that publicly. I don't speed. Technically, legally, I don't speed. No, but I don't know why I love fast cars when I don't speed. It's very strange.
I don't know. Good to have the option.
You like to have that feeling.
And you want to feel like a James Bond girl all times.
Ice someone out, like disappear. You could do that in your Tesla. Okay, so, and let me ask you a couple more. What do you think about gray sweatpants on men?
Wow. It's a vision. I'm seeing things.
Do you think that gray sweatpants look better on some than others because of because of their anatomy or because just the style of the sweatpants?
Well, I guess a little both. I mean, I think a good gray sweatpants, timeless and sexy and fierce. I like it. I like gray sweats. I like it for women.
Just in general.
And men. I just like a good gray sweat. I have these cute Stella McCartney gray sweat pant outfit I wear all the time.
They're cute.
I feel like gray looks good on everybody too.
Yeah. Pretty universal
all
color.
Skin.
But I'm referring to that horrible TikTok trend about men wearing gray sweatpants.
I have to check this out.
Apparently,
tell my husband it's for research.
Yeah, she's researching. All you have to do is search gray sweatpants hashtag and you'll see what they're talking about. It's like a big, big deal that I didn't know about till I got on TikTok. But now that I know it, I cannot unknow it. So
true.
So that's it. You guys, I'm sending you out to do your research for yourselves on gray sweatpants. All right. And then what do you think about very baggy clothes? That's my last question. Sometimes I do see celebrities on the red carpet and they wear like a T-bar shoulder pads and like clothes that are almost like where you can't see the shape at all.
Right.
What do you think about that?
I know when you wear like the big baggy T-shirt with like shorts on it, it's called lamp shading.
Oh.
Is the silhouette, apparently. I learned that this summer. Again, I feel like that fad's been around a while. Too long. I feel like it doesn't look good on me. So, of course, I'm partial to saying I think it's a great fad because I don't feel
like
sexy
pretty
in it.
But
I'm sure with certain people or features, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know, with like my vibe or...
It's interesting.
I can't
because
pull it off. You know?
have like the perfect mermaid body. It was perfect body.
Thank you.
But, you know, body trends have changed. Like there were.
That's very true.
When Twiggy's day, everybody wanted to have no curves, no curves, no curves, yep. straight, skinny. And then there was.
The 60s, right? That was, I think she was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was before my time. But
70s is burn the bra, like.
Yes.
You know, just go braless, hippie.
Very relaxed style.
Bohemian chic.
And then we got to like 80s with the tan.
I love the 80s.
Yellow
I love Kelly LeBrock and Weird Science. That's my inspo. She's amazing. I did a photo shoot, a cover actually, where they styled me to be her in that movie. It was so much fun because I just adore her. And I got to meet her. She's actually with my agent, my modeling agent in New York. And I was just like smitten because I just remember seeing her on the big screen and just like she had these like, beautiful face, perfect hair, body, and like just so cool, you know.
Love. I want to.
I'm aging myself.
I want Flashdance to come
fabulous.
Back. Flashdance style.
Ooh, I love
off
Flash
the
dance.
Shoulder.
Yeah.
Leggings.
With so the hot.
Leg warmer, so your legs look leaner and longer. I like that Flashdance. How come? How come it won't come
yes,
back?
Yes, I know. I know.
Maybe we should start it.
We should clearly, and that's that is a gray. Sweatshirt cut.
That's true.
So that one shoulder peeks out.
That's true.
Bring in the gray sweats full circle.
Bring that, yeah. It's not just for men. Tell me when you're looking for inspiration, where do you go? Like what celebrities
or
what?
Good question.
Do you, you know, I actually sometimes just look for inspiration online. Like I'll search inspirational quotes and just to get myself, my juices flowing.
Where do you get your inspirational quotes from? Do you have a go-to Instagram? That
no,
you follow,
I no.
That
I just
you
search
admire or Pinterest.
No, okay. Well, sometimes I just do a regular Google search, and sometimes I think back to a writer that I really like, or
sure.
I love a poet like Rumi, or I love certain
Amazing.
Philosophers. So I'll go and look them up and look up quotes that they've said. And I happen to love like Winston Churchill and Benjamin Franklin. I'm kind of nerdy.
Oh my
that
god!
Way.
Next time you're in London, you have to go to the Churchill.
Is there a museum?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's the bunkers.
Yeah.
And you go underground and they're all there. It's so cool. A lot of people don't know about that because London, everyone always does kind of the obvious, you know.
Yeah.
Changing of the guards.
The London Eye, the Buckingham Palace.
So do that next time.
Okay.
It's really, really cool.
I will. I love it. I love that. Yeah. So, you know, I'll think of an author and then I'll say, let me search some quotes they've said, or I'll have something that happened in my life. Or in someone around me's life. And then I'll go, let me search quotes about that. And, you know, and then that's how
I
find
always wonder, because when you follow people, you're like, God, where do they get all these brilliant quotes all the time?
Where do you get these things? Yeah, that's what it is. Or now that I give an inspirational quote every morning on stories, people send me them. So they'll like message me, oh, I saw a quote that I thought you might like. So then I get content that way. But
that's sweet. And that's a nice, like, connecting with people.
Yes.
Start
yeah, I love
of your
it.
Day.
I love
nice
it.
Energy.
So that's why I made the purpose of this podcast is to educate, inspire, and entertain. So
love that.
I'm always asking people who are successful like you, what did they do? Who really sparked them to believe in themselves so much? And you know what people on along their way or what messages along their way resonated with them. But
sure.
And also, I wanted to know what do you have any. Special beauty hacks
oh,
or
yes,
life hacks
honey.
For us.
I love a good hack.
Tell
a
me.
Lot. Let's see. First up, okay, because you know, people, I've had big lips since I was a kid, a baby.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And people often think, you know, I have all these stuff done, but I like to tell them a good way to make your lips look extra full and luscious is I take a lighter concealer or makeup you can do.
Okay.
Do like a two shades lighter than you would on your face. And you just put it in the center of your lips on the top lip and the bottom lip. And then you put your lipstick or, you know, stain over it. And it really works. I'm telling
it
you.
It makes them pop.
Yeah. It like, you know, the old rule of thumb, you know, when you add you know, black or
makes
darken
it, look smaller,
it smaller. And when you go lighter, it makes it pop. And also I like that because I don't know if you've ever tried or used those glosses. They're really tacky and sticky.
The lip
and they kind of, it's annoying after a while. It's too much for me anyway. Different strokes for different folks. So for me, I prefer to do that trick. And then I line them in a certain way. I overline them. And then I also, you know, really look in the mirror and look at the shape of your lips too. Like I draw them like the Cupid's bow, closer together. And it really changes to make the appearance fuller and bigger, not just like the same old, like, oh, I drew them bigger. No, like change the shape, add the concealer in the middle. And voila.
And voila, your lips look plumped.
And then the other trick I have with regards to shading.
Her daughter May has the exact same lips. So we know it's genetic. The exact same gorgeous plump lips.
She's never done her lips, people.
It's hard for people to believe when, I know. When you see this like amount of gorgeousness these days that it's not that, you know, it's not augmented or anything.
Exactly.
Like that.
But and then the same thing goes for eye makeup. A lot of people, you know, we love a good winged liner, eyeliner, but people just have a tendency to just get the one black one, stick it on, put it on top, put it underneath. Oh, let's add it in the waterline. You're doing it wrong. That's too much. That's going to make your eyes much smaller. So a good hack is to use the black on the top lid. And you can do a regular, like a fox eye or a cat wing liner. And then underneath, I use a brown. So you can even use like a brown shadow. So it has more dimension. And then on the waterline, I like to do like a nude, you know, so it gives your, opens your eyes.
So a white or a nude?
Like a white or a nude.
Okay.
Or like a, you know, like a pretty, like an emerald green or like a, like a green. Dark blue, depending on your eye color. The key is don't just get the one black eyeliner.
I see. And dimension. Like line your whole eyes all the way around with black.
Black today.
I'm tomorrow. Taking that personally today, but y'all I'm just kidding. I have heard about people putting white liner on their wet line of their eye to make it look bigger, like an extension of
and
your
more
sclera.
Refreshed. You look awake.
And more
if
awake.
You had a tough night, that's a good hack for
but
sure.
But I do sometimes feel like it's too much. So I think like that cream color, like you were saying, or maybe a color
a little
would
softer.
Be nice.
Yeah, sometimes a white can be a little too.
Yeah, it just pops out and I feel a little
bit weird
about it.
That's more red carpet, I feel like, if you really want to go for it. But for day to day, I know Charlotte Tilbury makes a good one.
Oh, I love Charlotte Tilbury lip liner.
Yeah.
I love their body shimmer. Oh my God, she makes the most amazing makeup. I really
love Pat
it.
McGrath also, of course.
What else? Oh, we want to hear all your beauty hacks.
I'm all about sunscreen.
Yay!
I mentioned earlier, since I was 12, my grandmother and my aunt told me, you wear the sunblock every single day before you leave the house, no matter what. Gray, because we know when it's gray out, you get just as much sun.
You still get
sun.
If
not more sometimes, because it's tricky.
Thank you.
And I love that Color Science powder that you sell here at Bella Skin Institute. And it's so handy. You just throw it in your purse and it's actually a really, nice powder, but it has the sunblock in there. So you're reapplying the powder, but it has the sunblock. And another hack I just discovered that I love because I'm a sunscreen. Don't get the sun on the face. Just use bronzer, everybody.
No, you're right.
Even if you're 20, just don't do it. You're going to regret that later. So basically I use sunscreen, but I also use a sunscreen primer before I even put the makeup on. And you just spray it on. It's super easy.
Yeah.
That one is, I think it's Kate Somerville makes a good one. And Ulta Beauty also has it. You can get it online.
Yeah, I love it. So sunscreen primers, I actually didn't realize they had the spray kind.
I know, and I didn't either. It's like a whole new world. I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, you're doing this. You're doing the lotions and potions and serums and like, you just want to spray it on real quick.
Because, you know, honestly, the most powerful anti-aging thing is not to accumulate aging. So almost everything we do quenches free radicals and gets rid of aging that way.
Oh.
But if you didn't get the UV on your skin, you wouldn't have free radicals. So that's the most powerful thing, is to protect your skin. So,
interesting.
I have been telling people to use I love the Dermablend Jelly Primer.
Oh.
You put it on, let it dry, and it's real sticky. And then you can put your sunscreen and it really sticks, especially with us wearing masks.
Yes.
A lot of times you wear your mask and then when you go home, you take it off and you've wiped off half your sunscreen.
Oh, that's so true.
But this helps it stay on. So
I'm all about that. It's all about re
reapplying,
re-upping our cosmetics. I mean, I also love the Sephora lip, liquid lip. Mm-hmm. The stuff you put it on, it does not move all day long.
Really? Is it SPF?
You know, that's a good question.
Oh, okay, okay. Liquid lip, because we're wearing masks all day, and then your lipstick is smeared all over the place.
Mask. It does not move. It is great stuff, and they have really beautiful colors. I love it. I go in there and I buy five at a time because I'm like, if they ever discontinue this, I'm so nervous.
I know. I hoard makeup too. I have a whole shelf of hoarded makeup in case they discontinue my colors.
Go-to.
My favorite.
Product.
I love my base. I love Chanel Vida Lumiere base, and I mix it with Estee Lauder.
Okay.
Double Wear.
Oh.
And I blend it and I
hydrating,
put the base on. It's very hydrating.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then I love beauty blender sponges.
Do you have a go-to one or just any of them?
The original one. Yeah, the original. Okay. And then I get it a little bit wet and then pat that in. Ooh. That's my favorite concealer.
Yes. And it feels good. It's like a massage.
And then my makeup artist introduced me to Graftobian, which is a kit for contouring.
Okay.
That has like almost every tone of skin. It's like a big palette, but it's in a moist base, so it doesn't look dry on your skin. So that.
Okay.
I'm like kind of a makeup freak, actually.
I love it.
I wear it every day. So.
What's your favorite mascara?
Oh, you know what?
I always want to know because there's so many mascaras.
And the only one that I really think makes your lashes look thicker and longer is the Manga mascara.
Really?
It's not expensive.
I've never even heard of this.
So it's named after those manga cartoons. You know how they have the thick eyelashes manga?
And it really is super duper good.
It is unbelievably good. I can't believe it. Like, you know, and sometimes I'll have a makeup artist put my eye, you know, my mascara on. I'm like, that didn't even do anything. You got to try my mascara.
And you turn them on to it.
Yeah, like, I turn them on to it.
Thank you so much.
I'm always exchanging. I love to watch makeup being done on me. I love to watch how contouring happens because it's a lot like how I inject people. Like I inject cheekbones, I inject lips, I inject nose reshaping. I do all that.
Yeah.
And the concepts are very similar to the way makeup contouring is applied. Like the way the nasal bridge should be narrowed, the way the tops of the cheek should be highlighted, and the way the face is made more symmetrical with the shading.
Sure.
It reminds me of the way I actually fill a face, like to...
Right.
sculpt the face so that it looks actually like that. So I'm always fascinated. Every time I get my makeup done, I take away another tip and like go buy that stuff myself so I could try to do it. But it is interesting that I can never really get my makeup the same way as my makeup artist can get it.
I think you do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Gorgeous makeup.
I think that I just read something that no one's objective about their own face like that you have. You might make your face look better to yourself by 15%.
Okay.
But also you almost always like your left side better.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why? Because it's on the side of your heart?
I actually was reading and I was going to read more about it.
For your left side?
You just love your left side. The majority of people love their left side. And it has to
I like my right side better. You know, when you stand for a photo with your friends and everyone has their good side.
Oh, we're
going to
be
side.
So good with photos.
I'm glad I'm on the right side right now, by the way.
Left side better. Ready. We're ready for our photo shoots.
We're ready.
We're ready. So
we're always doing that in your office.
Our office, we're always doing selfies and always doing videos and doing all kind of stuff. So,
Wouldn't we? There's all kinds of fun
to be had.
Filters
right?
And like, I love all these silly filters, like with like rabbit ears.
Butterflies.
Mohawks.
Like that.
Butterflies.
You know, honestly, that's another big debate. Filters. So filters are
good topic. Yes.
Something I have some of the most gorgeous people in the world that are my patients. Like, I die over
name
them.
Name drop.
I can't name drop. Oh, well, actually I can.
Well, you can a few. You have a book.
That's true.
So I'm sure they said it was okay.
Well, because I'm going to say
Of them did.
I'm going to say what they do. Like they take many, many, many pictures before they're happy with one.
Okay,
they use filters all the time.
Absolutely.
And they're sometimes in their 20s or 30s.
Isn't that crazy?
They are so perfect in person. But I always thought, I'm using a filter because, you know, I'm whatever. I'm me and I'm vain and I don't like this or that or whatever. But
and
here's
it's fun.
This perfect
it's
person.
It's like artsy. Yeah.
I know. It's fun. Yeah. So there's a lot of judgment about filters, but I think that most people know if you use a filter or not. I think
girls, we know.
Yeah, we all know. So I don't know.
Our girls and gays know.
Girls and gays.
No. If you don't have a pore on your face.
Yeah, not one
I'm
pore.
I'm going to call filter.
Not one line.
Yeah.
Then okay. But I do also feel like filters empower people to do things that they wouldn't have otherwise done.
Because we're getting desensitized by looking, like having some pores or a
wrinkle. We're getting to the point where.
Whatever.
Right. But I also feel like. Some people who would never put their picture or their video on social media would never even put themselves out there, feel a little bit more confident because they can put a filter on.
The other
on.
Side, yeah.
Yeah, the other side of it. There's always the bad side that we hear about.
Yeah.
The other side of it is this person might have never posted a single picture or video if it wasn't.
Yeah, don't you remember the first time you were on Instagram?
Yeah.
I remember a friend showed me and she's like, look, and you can scroll down on the bottom and pick. And like she tapped on the icon. I was like, oh my God, this is incredible.
This is fun.
How fun is this?
But I think now there's a trend to scale it back and have a little bit of a filter, maybe not so aggressive because it was getting to the point where like,
it's too much.
It's very aggressive.
And it's so obvious sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of that too, but like, I agree. I think when it first came out, but now the trend is
to settle it back down. But I don't think they're going anywhere.
I don't think so either.
I don't think they're going
it's anywhere. Too fun.
It's too fun.
Everyone likes to have some fun look and feel fabulous.
So you're doing a show with Duff.
Yes.
It's on SiriusXM.
Yeah, SiriusXM, Channel 38,
Ozzy's Boneyard. What's the gist of that show?
Okay, so that show, we just completed our 79th show. It's called Three Chords and the Truth, because we believe in playing music that depicts the truth and rock and roll.
Yeah.
So we like to play songs that aren't the obvious, you know, when you turn on the radio, it's like you hear the same 10 songs.
Right.
And we've heard the same 10 songs for the last 10 years. So it just gets really old. And there's so much brilliant music out there. And obviously,
so you want to give them a chance like to let these people
play the lesser known tracks, the hidden gems, or, you know, sometimes the live version or, we also take requests, which is fun because we've gotten turned on to some new bands or music we might not have ever heard. And it's just fun because we get to take over the radio for an hour and play whatever we want.
And do you DJ it? Do you talk and DJ it? Take calls? I call you?
I guess it's, we don't take calls. Oh. I got to work on that.
But, I want to call.
I know, that'd be so
cool. I want to call in. Thank you so much, babies, for joining me. Don't forget to follow her on Instagram. She's at Susan Holmes McKagan.
Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. Bye, babies.